Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you guys came on a Sunday night. You're tempting me to say thank you for your excitement. Amen. I know I'm a little bit different, but if you can hang on for another 8 years maybe with me, I'll be 80 then. Then I promise you I'll leave you alone. Okay. You know, I wanted to talk to you about what God ordains, God protects. And then I decided against it, and because I had about five different directions I want to go with that, but I decided I'm going to stay with one portion of Scripture. I almost spoke with you about 2 days before, 2 days for glory, but that one didn't pass either. I'm a strange guy. I have, the Word of God is like living coals in me, and every now and then a word just have that glow on it, and then I think, okay, I'm going to talk about this. And maybe it's the prophetic thing in me. But I want you to go with me to Exodus chapter 2 tonight, and I want to emphasize a line that I just saw while I was sitting there. And Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, and this is all about the birth of Moses. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, doubted it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. I love these words, in the reeds by the river's bank. In the reeds by the river's bank. Sometimes that's where you and I find ourselves. In the reeds by the river's bank. I'm going to say it again. The more I think about it, I feel like it's like the Holy Spirit take a highlight pen and highlight it. In the reeds by the river's bank. That is a prophetic little picture of where you and I sometimes find ourselves. It may not look impressive. It may not sound like the right address, in the reeds by the river's bank. But sometimes your surrounding may not look good as long as the eye of God is on you. Come on. I'm more safe in the reeds by the river's bank with God's eye on me than in a 5-star palace and God is not there. Now, if I can give this a subtitle, I want to give it, God ordains what he, God protects what he ordains. And we all know that it has to do with the birth of Moses here. And I want to assure you that, you know, the Bible says that God has given every one of us a measure of his spirit. We all have a measure of faith. And so there's something of God in all of us, but that something in us can develop into more. And I believe that's why you are here tonight, because what brought you here? You say, well, somebody invited me. No. That was maybe just what God used to get you here, but there was already a stirring in you. I want to hear the word of God. I have a desire for him. That's why you came. Now, when you go back into chapter 1, it says there in verse 15, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives of him, of whom the name of the one was Sifra, the name of the other was Pial, and said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew woman and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. So this was all about the birthing of Moses. Pharaoh was in charge, And Pharaoh made a law and said, if you see a Hebrew boy being born, kill him. Isn't it sad that sometimes the satanic world, the world of the devil, the enemy, is sometimes more sensitive for what is about to show up on the earth, the next move of God, the next plan of God. And sometimes when you see an uproar in America by an evil spirit, it's because they already know God is up to doing something great. Something is going to be birthed. And that's why I want to say to you and I want to say to America, we're living in a good day. I'm not led by what goes wrong, because that tells me something good is coming our way. God is never threatened by anybody. God has never had a coup in heaven. The last time somebody tried to do that, he landed up becoming Satan, and nobody ever tried after that again. So thank you for your excitement again. But the midwives, so here we have midwives. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children. Let us be the midwives, or the midman, if there is such a thing. Let us protect the work of the Lord. And the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing? Because they saved the male children, because they allowed the Hebrew boys to be birthed. Because Pharaoh was afraid that another boy will be birthed and that man will carry God's plan. That's why he made that law. He knew God's going to raise up a leader from amongst the Hebrew boys, and he need to kill all the Hebrew boys. That way he can destroy the plan of God. You can never destroy the plan of God on this earth. This is impossible. And so now he's a little bit angry with the midwives because they did not do as he wished. But verse 20 says, therefore, God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily. Now, there's so much other background I can give you about where Israel found themselves and the role of Pharaoh. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he, God, provided households for them. So now God blesses the households of the midwives because they have protected the Hebrew boys, and in that process protected God's plan. Amen. So now we get to the verse where we started. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as his wife a daughter of Levi, the woman conceived. And but she, when she could no longer, because Moses was now three months old, and when she could no longer hide him, they took him and put him in an ark of bulrushes for him, doubted it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. So here we have little Moses, 3 months old, in the reeds by the river's bank, in a little ark, and it was covered with asphalt and pitch. That asphalt and pitch had a very, very bad smell. So here you have God's plan in the middle of a river, in the reeds, by the river's bank, wrapped in a bad smell. Sometimes you and I find ourselves in the river, in the reeds, by the river's bank, all by ourselves. The fear of the world is against us, and we are wrapped in bad smell. Welcome to the real life. If you never had a season where you were wrapped in bad smell, you will have one. You say, oh, well, you're a great prophet. No, I'm not a prophet when I say that. That is my common sense. My common sense tells me, sometime in your life, you're going to be wrapped up in bad smell. You're going to be in the reeds by the river's bank, and that's where you will get stuck. But cheer up. God's eye is still on you. Come on. The surrounding, the address, the location did not look good. But Moses was in the perfect will of God, and he even wept. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to the bath to take a bath at the river. So here comes Pharaoh's daughter. Now the one who made the law kill the Hebrew boys, here comes his daughter. How many of you know that sometimes the wrong people show up at the right address for the wrong reasons, but then God takes over? How many of you believe that God can take over in your river, in the reeds, at the river's bank, even in your moment, in your season of bad smell? He can take over. And so here she comes, and she walked, wanted to take a bath, and her maids walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark amongst the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when they opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So Moses is making a... If I was there, I would have said to Moses, be quiet, man. But sometimes God will allow you to make a noise that you think can destroy you, but God will actually, in that moment of noise, he will orchestrate your protection. And the baby wept, and she had come, and she opened it, and she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept, and she had compassion on him, and she said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." So now Pharaoh's daughter knew about the law that her dad made, and now she identified the boy as Hebrew. And the moment you read that, you probably think, trouble. Church, I'm going to preach very briefly tonight. I want to minister to people. And then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you?" Now remember, the mother of Moses put him into that ark and put him into the river. Now the maiden made a suggestion to Pharaoh's daughter. Would you want us to go and call a woman from the Hebrew woman and a nurse to nurse this child for you? Because they realized that Pharaoh's daughter now fell in love with a Hebrew boy. So Pharaoh's own daughter, and remember Pharaoh had a crown in the form of a snake. He represents Satan. So now Pharaoh's daughter fell in love with God's plan, not knowing it's God's plan. Because Moses is somewhere in the future, and Moses will become the one that will irritate Pharaoh, ultimately. But you see, the devil cannot see into the future the way that God can see into the future. Come on. God knows your future better than what you know your past. And when God saw this, God says, "I'm going to outsmart Pharaoh." Watch what happened here. And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go." Pharaoh's daughter is giving a yes for the plan of God. Church, I know one thing, that our God is in control. It doesn't matter how bad things become in this world, our God is in control. When you look at Israel at the moment, everybody thought this thing is spinning out of control. God is in control. I mean, God is at work. I mean, I don't want to go into politics, and I don't want to go into Israel and Iran, but you know that the Iranian leader was killed a week or two ago in that helicopter crash. Do you know that it was the first time that Iran ever attacked Israel the way they attacked Israel? And a month later, the leader of Iran, who said, "Wipe out Israel," is dead. You must be careful. God is in control. And I don't want to go into that because that's an incredible story there. And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. So the maiden went and called the child's, they called the child's mother. So now they called the mother of Moses to be the nurse for the child. Wow. Sometimes if you hang on to a seed for too long and it stays in your hand, you will ultimately lose it. There's even a sowing and reaping lesson here. She released Moses into the river, into the will of God, and saying, Lord, he's 3 months old, he's getting too big. If they catch me with him in my arms, the law, they will kill him. She put him in the river, and now they come back to her and they say, you will not believe what happened. The daughter of Pharaoh came, saw your little boy in the river, fell in love with him, and she said she want the boy, and now we need to find a nurse. Would you be willing to be the nurse for Pharaoh's daughter to take care of this unknown child that we know is your son? If there's one person that had influence over Pharaoh, it was his own daughter. And she probably said to him, please let this one go. I mean, he's going to do you nothing. Not knowing he is the very one that God had in mind for the future. Church, you're in good shape, but it's getting even better. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages. So now Pharaoh is going to finance God's plan with his own money, not knowing every cent and every dime he spends on that little boy, he's actually financing God's plan to irritate him in the future when Moses will say, let God's people go. Come on, church. Isn't that powerful? So God protects, God ordains what he, God protects what he ordained. You say, well, how does that fit into my life? We are all children of God. We are all made in the image of God. I wish sometimes I can get it into the spirit of people that God cares for you as much as he cares for me. You say, well, Pastor Andre, you're a mighty man of God, and you're a prophet, and you're this, and you're that. No, stop it. If I take you back with me into my 20s, into my teenage years, into my 30s, doesn't matter what age you are, if I take you back into the age where you are, I will prove to you I have just been an ordinary person like you, sitting on the church pew, having a prompting of the Holy Spirit that God is taking me somewhere. I've been in the rivers, in the river. I've been amongst the reeds. There was times that I was wrapped in bad smell. And all I can say to you is, God is on his way somewhere, and you are part of the package. You are part of the plan. God will come through for you. Church, I don't come out of a family where three generations before me were all pastors. I had a great family. My parents were Pentecostal people. I know nothing else about growing up in Pentecost, but they were ordinary people loving the Lord. But all I can say to you is that God has a way of protecting you. I mean, you know my story. I've told you that story previously, that when I was 6 years old, I was supposed to die. I mean, I was born premature. My lungs fell flat. My eyes went blind. And the doctor said to my mother that if I live 6 months, I will be blind. My mother said, it is a fact that he's going blind. It's a fact that his lungs fell flat. It's a fact that he doesn't look good. It's all facts, doctor. But the truth is that God said to me, that's my mother speaking, said to me that this boy will not die because this boy, when I was pregnant, the Lord said, it will be a boy and he will go to the nations one day and he will preach the gospel. What happened? God took me out of the reeds. He took me out of the river. He took me out of the bad smell. Come on. He took me out of the hands of the medical world on what they say. And he said, no. That's where he is now, but I see him somewhere in the future preaching the gospel in Hot Springs, Arkansas, with a lot of people that's very quiet when he gets excited. Come on, church. I am a living testimony that there comes a time that you will be in the reeds in the river's bank. We all find ourselves there, wrapped in bad smell, in the reeds, in the river's bank. Whatever that may mean. Maybe that is the words that the Bible uses to describe where they found Moses. But in the reeds, by the river's bank, wrapped in bad smell, it's just a circumstance the Bible explains. Your circumstances look different. Maybe you live in a house and maybe things are falling apart. Your finances is falling apart. Maybe things are not looking good. God says, I know exactly how to get you out of that. I already know where you are. And if I need to use the devil to get you out, I will even use him because I can even fool him. I don't know what Pharaoh felt like the day when he found out that he financed the man that will irritate him. Come on. Because Moses and Aaron, I think it's in Exodus chapter 7, Moses and Aaron, God said to Moses and Aaron when they were 80 and 83 years old, he said, I will now make you as God to Pharaoh. You can read it for yourself, verse 1. I will make you as God to Pharaoh. So what it's actually saying is, you will not be God, but when you stand in front of Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron, you will be as God. Wow. As God? Yes, as God. That, what God is actually saying is, I will give you such authority that when you stand in front of Pharaoh, and then God says, I will multiply my signs. And I was thinking to talk to you about multiplication, and it doesn't have anything to do with money. It has everything to do with authority. Because when God says, I will multiply my signs, he out-multiplied Pharaoh's signs. But that's Moses and Aaron. So here is Moses, 80 and 83 years old, him and Aaron, stand in front of Pharaoh, and they had a stick, which is the type of the cross. And they said to Pharaoh, let God's people go. And you know what happened there? There was a snake fight, and the snake from Aaron's rod swallowed up all the snakes of all the magicians from Egypt, and they picked up the snake by the tail, and it became a staff again. And that whole picture is a prophetic manifestation of what the crucifixion would have looked like in the New Testament. When Jesus was thrown down like a snake, became sin, God picked him up on the third day, and he took all sin, all sickness was wrapped up in him on the third day. That's another sermon. I should not even go there. But I want to say to you, that's what Moses looked like. And maybe if I was Moses and I was 80 years old and I stood in front of Pharaoh, you know what I would have said to Pharaoh? You should have killed me when I was in the river's bank. You made a horrible mistake by believing your daughter because you did not know that you and I have another appointment. And thank you, by the way, Mr. Pharaoh Snake, for blowing all your money on God's plan. Let God's people go. My message to you is this. I have ordained you already for the future, and I will protect you in your difficult days, because in the future, I have a task for you. I'm going to use your mouth to say, let God's people go. Maybe your words will just be a little bit different, but there it is. Amazing. I want to encourage people that are in the river's bank. I want to encourage people that are stuck in the reeds. I want to encourage people that is wrapped in bad smell. And I want to encourage you, and I want to say to you, it will not last. It will not last. You know, I remember when I was 6 years old, I still have an idea of what I felt like and how sick I was. And here I am today, and I look back and I say, Lord, you got me out of the reeds. You got me out of that bad smell. You got me out of the medical reports. Doesn't matter what they say, you had the final say. And here I am, Lord, I'm almost 72. My wife doesn't like it when I mention my age wherever I go, but she's not here. And she always tells me, Andre, if you say your age, everybody knows how old I am. I said, I married you when you were 39, and you are still 39. So my wife convinced me a woman never gets older than 39. If a woman doesn't want to tell her age, she's 39. Come on. You know that's not the truth. Now, pastor and his wife is having a little discussion there. Yeah, he's pointing the finger at her. I know exactly what that is all about. All women are the same. Say amen, all the men. How many of you believe that your future is a given in spite of where you are? Now, church, I can go and I can talk about Herod and the birth of Jesus, same thing. When Herod heard about the birth of Jesus, the first thing he wanted to do is he wanted to say to the wise men, now, where is he? We also want to go and show him honor. And they knew that's not the truth. Because an angel warned them, and they left for home in a different direction, and they never went back so that Herod cannot get a hold of them, because Herod, same thing. And God is not finished with birthings. God is not finished with birthings a revival. He's not finished with stirring a move of God in different parts of the world. God is preparing for a harvest this world has never seen. Church, I can tell you stories of what's going on in the Middle East. This week I had a Zoom call with a gentleman that looks like John the Baptist. He's from Germany. He oversees more than 2,000 home churches in Europe. They are now going into sensitive areas. He's gonna do a live recording for the Upper Room conference, but we cannot even put it on social media. I have just been had contact with other leaders on the West Coast, and what's happening in Iran and in Saudi Arabia and other nations, but we cannot broadcast it. You go to my Facebook page, and you will see what I wrote there. No pictures, no faces, but this is the testimony. Go and read it there. I wrote something about it. God is doing an amazing thing in the earth. This man, John the Baptist, that's not his real name, when he comes to the Upper Room, he will talk, but we will not allow anybody to take pictures because it's very sensitive for him, because they are going into places, because the fastest growing church at the moment is in Iran. In Iran. The place where they thought they've got it under control. You cannot outsmart God. And all I want to say to all of you, the fact that you're in the reeds by the river's bank, wrapped in bad smell, is because God has earmarked you for something in your future. Amen? Show me what you go through, and I have a strong indication of where God is taking you. Cheer up. The best is still to come. Amen. Isn't it amazing how God uses the world of Pharaoh and the money of Pharaoh to finance his own plan? And God is going to do it again. I am in touch with leaders that when I listen to their stories, I just become quiet. because I realize I don't think I have a story like they have. 3 weeks ago, sitting with a man, I said, so brother, you have been in the prison in Iran. Yes, sir. Why did they throw you in prison? Because of the gospel. Spoke to another pastor. If they allowed him to build his church, he had a church in Tehran, in Iran. He would have been the head of the Assemblies of God in Iran with one of the biggest churches. But they closed it, shut it down. I spoke with him. I met him in Los Angeles. He told me everything. And when you talk to him and talk to these leaders, you realize the devil could not destroy them, could not take them out. And then they tell me how they go back and how they train pastors and how they go back into Iran and what is happening in Iran at the moment. Wow. And when I look at this story, I say, God will always protect what he ordained. Now, when you hear the word ordained, you think, well, it's a man of God, it's somebody that stands behind a pulpit. No. God has ordained you for purpose. And again, I touched a little bit this morning on kings and priests. People in the marketplace, people in the business world, you are as important as the man behind the pulpit. We are all having a voice for God. And I want to encourage you tonight. I could have gone into other directions. I have incredible scriptures I could have shared with you. But all I want to say to you is, you are in the river, in the reeds, by the river's bank, wrapped in bad smell, not forgotten. Not forgotten. Father, I thank you tonight that people in this building will realize God is at work no matter the bad smell, no matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on in the family, no matter the trouble they're in, no matter what's going wrong, no matter. God is in control. You can make laws. You can make laws to bring the church to a standstill. It's going to fail because God is at work through his Spirit. And Father, I just thank you tonight for men and women in this building that had to hear this so that they can go back and say, my best days are ahead of me. And even if I fall into the hands of my enemy, God will use me mightily, and they will be stunned by how God will protect me. In Jesus' name, amen.